Hi folks, we want to welcome you to this special study, this video study that we're putting together. I decided to put this study together because recently I've been having a lot of people asking questions about the mark of the beast. Some of the ones who have asked the questions have had concerns about whether or not that would be something that they would end up getting at this point. And so I thought I would put together this this video for you to kind of discuss what the mark of the beast is from the Bible. And so we really want to understand what the Bible says. And so our purpose today is twofold. We want to ease the fears of some concerning the mark of the beast. And if you've been around in this world a little bit, you know that there are a lot of folks who have concerns about the mark of the beast. I know that a year doesn't go by that when I go to a store, or if I'm in a restaurant, especially if I'm in a store and I'm buying something and my total comes up to $6.66, it doesn't fail that I have a clerk ask me if I want to add a candy bar to the order so that it doesn't ring up with that number. Now, you would say that's nothing more than superstition, George. Well, yes, it is, but it's reflective of a concern and a fear that some have concerning the number. And right now, there's a fear that some feel that they may unwillingly take the number and thus bring judgment upon themselves. So the purpose of our study here is to ease those fears that some might be having concerning the mark of the beast. The second thing we want to do is we also want to help in answering those who are confused about the mark. Now, it may be that you recognize that the mark is not something that we need to be worried about, but you do have people who are asking you questions about the mark. And so what we want to do is put together a video presentation for you today to help you to understand what the Scripture says and how you can present to them from the Bible concerning what the mark of the beast is and when it will take place. So that's our purpose in doing this. Now, before we look at the passage in Revelation chapter 13 that talks about the mark of the beast, we do have to make some viewpoints clear concerning, well, we have to make some issues clear concerning the study of the Bible when you and I study the Bible. So there's some things that need to be really addressed right off the bat if we're going to understand what the passage says and if we're going to interpret the passage. So first of all, the scriptural text cannot mean more than what it meant to the ones who originally received it. Now that is an underlying truth throughout the scripture in studying it. That text cannot mean more than the person who received it in the first century. It's got to make sense to them and therefore make sense to us. There are no hidden secrets. There are no hidden truths that the people in the first century didn't understand. Well, maybe they didn't understand the imagery. That's fine. But you and I need to recognize that the meaning was plain to them, it's plain to you and I. So the scriptural text cannot mean more than what it meant to the ones who originally received it. Here's the second thing you need to understand. Interpretations are not sacred. The scripture text is. Interpretations are not sacred. The scriptural text is. And so let's take, for instance, what we're going to be looking at today in our discussion. We're going to be talking about what is the mark of the beast. Now, I need to remind some of you, maybe some of you remember this. In fact, I was just kind of noticing today on the internet, there's still this viewpoint being presented out there. It's not as popular as the one that's currently out there. But I can remember 30, 40 years ago, people believing that the mark of the beast was a barcode. The technology at the time, we could read barcodes and get all kinds of information. And so you had, I can remember, curriculum and pictures in Christian circles of people with reference to the book of Revelation walking around with a barcode on their forehead or on their right hand. Now we're in a world where basically the interpretation is that it's a chip. Now, could it be a barcode? Could it be a chip? Yes, it's possible. However, the interpretation of the text is not sacred. It's the scriptural text that is. It's the scriptural text that we need to pay attention to. Because it's possible that any of those things could fit into it, but it also is possible that there is yet to be something developed that we don't know about at this point that might fit into the scriptural text. So you need to understand that, which brings me to my next point. Interpretations change and often do with prophetic passages, just like I said to you. 30 years ago, it's a barcode. Now they're talking about a chip. Interpretations change. Do you understand? And that is often true with regards to prophetic passages. I can remember when, back in the 90s, that the belief was is that the Antichrist was Saddam Hussein because, and the reason, one of the biggest reasons was is during his reign, he was wanting to reestablish Babylon. So the prophetic warriors at that time were basically promoting the idea that he was the Antichrist. Now we know that that is not true here in 2021 because Saddam Hussein was executed. He's dead. He is not the Antichrist. Interpretations change, folks. And that's especially true when it comes to prophetic passages. Now, here's the sad thing, and this is why we're doing this video. Sadly, many believers believe the interpretation without knowing what the scripture says. Many people can tell me what so-and-so said or what some guy in YouTube said and not tell you what the Bible says. So our purpose today is to inform you what the scripture says and help you to understand from the scripture so that we do those two things. Number one, ease the fears of those who have concerns about the mark of the beast. And number two, help those who are to be able to explain to others concerning the mark of the beast. So the interpretation is not as important as what the text says itself. So let's take a look at what it says. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18. Now we're going to take this section because it's very important for you and I to understand the issue of the mark of the beast. We're not just going to look at verses 16, 17, and 18 concerning the mark. We're going to look at the whole context of the passage. Because again, if you take the text out of the context, you're left with a con. So let's take a look at what the passage says, because we're going to see some very important information that will help us at understanding the whole issue of the mark of the beast. So let's look with me. It's up on your screen. Let's take a look at verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs by which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So this is the passage from which we get the whole concept of the mark of the beast. Now, this passage tells us a lot that will help you to understand the mark of the beast, as well as hopefully alleviate some fears that some might have concerning it. So that if you do go through the Walmart cashier and you get a receipt that says $6.66, you don't need to worry about it, because that isn't the number of the beast. Now, how do you know that, George? Well, let's take a look at the issue here, the question. So let's talk, first of all, about how we're going to approach this question today. So here's the issue concerning our approach to the question. We're going to ask five questions of the passage to understand the mark of the beast. So we're going to take this passage, verses 11 through 18, and we're going to ask five questions of the passage to help us to understand what the mark of the beast is. Now, what are those five questions, George? Well, here they are. We're going to ask when, number one, when. Number two, who. Number three, what. Number four, where. And then number five, we're going to ask why. So that's the focus of our study today, is answering these five questions. When, who, what, where, and why. So let's talk, first of all, about when. That is with reference to the timing of the mark. And that's very important. And I think that's going to answer some of the fears right now, because there are folks right now who are fearful that they might receive the mark of the beast. Well, the passage is going to tell us the when. All right? So the mark of the beast will be given during a future seven-year period of judgment known as the tribulation. So the mark of the beast will be given during this future period of judgment. In fact, that's what you find, folks, when you look at the book of Revelation. Starting in chapter 6, there is three series of judgments that take place during a seven-year period we call the tribulation, in which God pours out his wrath and judgment upon the world. And during that seven-year period, the mark of the beast will be instituted. Now, somebody might say, well, George, aren't we living in the tribulation right now? Isn't it possible that right now, with all of the things that are happening in the world around us, the chaos and all of everything that's going on and the decline that we're seeing in our nation, isn't it possible that right now, with the war and the pestilence and the disease, that we're in the tribulation right now? Well, no, we're not. How can you say that, George? Well, here's why. The tribulation begins when there is a peace treaty between Israel and the Antichrist, the future world ruler. I think everybody recognizes that right now there is no peace treaty. There is no world ruler that is ruling over the world. But in the future, there will be a future world ruler who will make a peace treaty with Israel. How do we know that? Well, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which is the discussion of the 70 weeks, the final week, the 70th week, is the week of tribulation. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 tells us when that final week begins. So notice with me what that verse says. Here's what Daniel writes. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. Even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. All right, what's that talking about, George? Well, it's saying that in that final week, it begins with this covenant or treaty between the people of God, which is Israel, from the perspective of Daniel, and the Antichrist. During this seven-year period, in the midst of the seven-year period, he will cease all worship at the temple. That happens in other passages that we see as well concerning the desolation of the temple. And this will occur until the end of the 7 weeks when the consummation happens. What is the consummation? Folks, the second coming of Christ, when he comes to pour out his final judgment and wrath on the desolate, or as we can say, the wicked. So the when is when the tribulation takes place. And we know right now that we're not in the tribulation. Okay, so that's when the mark will take place. Let's get to our second question now. Who? Let's talk about who. And there's two parts to this question. We're going to talk about, first of all, who institutes the mark of the beast, and then who takes it. So let's talk about the first part with regards from Revelation 13, who institutes. First thing I want you to notice, the false prophet or the second beast will institute the mark and require all humanity to receive it. So this is the right-hand man of the Antichrist. This is his spokesman. This is the one who causes the world to be devoted or to worship the Antichrist. He is the one who is going to institute this mark. So that's the who. The one who's going to institute the mark isn't a secret government institution or some secret conspiracy. It is going to be somebody who is going to cause the world, as a part of the worship of the beast, to receive this mark. Now, who receives it? Those who worship the beast, the Antichrist, will choose to receive the mark of the beast. Those who worship the beast, those who are devoted to the beast, because sometimes we have this concept of worship being, bowing down, doing a religious exercise. Worship is more than that, folks. It is devotion. It is complete allegiance to. That's what we're talking about here. And listen, throughout other passages in the book of Revelation, it makes reference to those who worship the beast. And notice what is also very much true of them. For instance, look in this passage of judgment concerning the beast or the Antichrist from Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. The two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So it's talking about the beast and the second beast being cast alive into the lake of fire, but it also refers to those they deceived, those who willingly took the mark, those who worship the beast. That's the implication here. So we're talking about who? Who starts it? The false prophet. And it's quest to have the world worship the beast, the Antichrist. Those who receive it, those who worship the beast, those who willingly take the mark. So that answers the who question. Now let's get to the what. Now this is very important because right now there is the assumption out there that the mark is a chip. And so you can find all kinds of material on the internet with people telling you that it is a chip. Folks, we're not going to talk about the interpretation. We're going to talk about what the scriptural text says. And you're going to find something very interesting about what the text says in verse 17. So here's the first thing I want you to notice when we talk about the what with regards to the mark of the beast. Here it is. There is a mistaken assumption that Revelation 13:17 describes one mark. So usually when you hear the interpretations, basically they all fit in that those who receive the mark, they're basically everybody is receiving the same kind of mark. But that's not what the text says. Let's take a look at what the text says. Look again, if you have your Bibles with you, look at verse 17. Here's what it says. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. All right, do you see that? Now here's the point I want you to see. The passage tells us that the followers of the beast will receive one of three markings. Not one marking, but possibly one of three different markings. And here's what the markings are. So it's not just a mark, say a chip, but there's also two other possibilities here. What would they be? Well, the marking includes the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, or the number of the beast. So right off the bat, you and I need to recognize that when it comes to this mark that people will receive, it could be one of three different things: a specific mark, a specific name of the Antichrist, or a number, which the text tells us is represented by a human number, 666. So that answers the what. So let's talk about where they will receive the mark. Okay, so this is very important. This is especially important with regards to a lot of discussion that's taking place today. Where will people receive the mark? Will they unwittingly receive the mark? I think when we look at what verse 16 says, we're going to see that it's very much a localized thing that happens with people. Look with me at what verse 16 says. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Okay, so Revelation 3:16 records that the followers of the beast will receive the mark on their right hands, somehow. I mean, the image that we had in the beginning introducing our video had a guy with a mark on his, on the palm of his hand. It could be on the top of the hand, who knows? But it's on their right hands and then on their foreheads. So that's where it is, nowhere else. It's either one or the other, not both necessarily, although it could be one or the other. Here is the why. Why is this possible? Why the mark of the beast? Well, the text tells us. The text tells us why. But in order for you and I to understand why, well, we need to understand the context of why. So here's the first point I want you to see here when we answer the question of why the mark of the beast. In order to understand why the mark is given, the condition of the world during the tribulation must be understood. So in order to understand why this mark is given, and why they so readily accept it from the Antichrist, is I want you to see that you have to understand what's going on in the world. And what's going on in the world is that the world is experiencing the tribulation, which, my friends, is not a vacation. It is a period of time when God's wrath will be poured out on the world. There will be great earthquakes. Thirds of populations will be destroyed. Sea life will be destroyed. It is a terrible time. And in particular, there is one aspect to the judgments that you and I need to understand. So during the tribulation, Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, records that there will be a judgment of worldwide famine and economic collapse. So during this time, there's going to be a judgment of which the world will be in a panic because of a famine that will take place that will devastate the world, and with that, an economic collapse. So that, the text is very clear, it will take a day's wages to buy something simple as a loaf of bread. This is the reality that we are talking about of what's going on during this period of time in which this mark will be received. So again, let's ask the question, why then? Revelation 13 records that only those who have the mark will be allowed to buy or sell. So this mark and those who have it will be held by those who will be allowed to go and buy things or who will be allowed to sell things. Now, that's why the chip is a very popular interpretation right now, because it kind of fits with the way our world functions right now. So I have a smartphone, and I can use my smartphone when I go to Sheetz, and I can pay for it without breaking out cash or without breaking out my credit card. So they would say, well, the chip would allow that to happen. Yes, that's a nice interpretation. The point is, though, it's not whether or not it's a chip. The point is that whatever this mark is, and of course, it's one of three markings, the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, or the number of the beast, it will allow a person to either sell or buy. And that's especially going to be important in a world that's facing worldwide famine and economic collapse. And so we see the why. Now, let's wrap this up. I think we have enough information to help us to understand what the Bible says, and enough information to kind of tell us what the mark of the beast is. So let me just wrap this up. Here's what you and I need to understand. Number one, the mark of the beast will be instituted in a future 7-year period of judgment that begins when the Antichrist establishes a peace treaty with the nation Israel and God's judgment is poured out on the world. Number two, it will be instituted by the false prophet as part of the whole aspect of the worship of the beast, and those who worship and are devoted to the beast will receive the mark, whether it is on their foreheads or on their right hands. And this mark, number three, will allow them to be able to buy and sell. And again, the marking is possibly one of three things. It is either a mark, it is either the name of the beast that is on their forehead or their hand, or it's either the number of the beast, which the text tells us is a number that we need to consider a human number, 666. Now, it's my hope that if you're living in fear because of the possibility that you might get the number of the beast, that our study today and the scriptures itself are speaking to you to help you to understand there is no way possible that you can have that right now. You say, well, isn't it possible that all these things are moving us there and one day there might be a chip? You know, you mentioned your phone, George. Yes, that is possible. But then again, let's remember, everything right now is moving to that ultimate climax, that ultimate, as the scripture says, consummation in which Jesus Christ will return. And so that's true. Yes, everything is moving there. But as far as the number of the beast happening right now, no. The scripture is telling us that is for the future. And we need to be wise and understand the scripture and know what is coming. And ultimately, what we know about the mark of the beast, it is just one more thing that will take place during a very terrible time of judgment in our world. And that is what's coming right before Jesus Christ comes back. Something for you and I to think about. Thanks for paying attention today. I hope this has been helpful to you. Take care.